Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be in church again this morning and gather together. And I don't know about over here, but I know over in Indiana, where I live, in Vermilion County and Park County specifically, they had to cancel two of the largest gathering events that they had. It was the hill climb, and then they had to cancel the Cover Bridge. But, you know, they used those things as an opportunity to gather together. And I've been watching some of the comments on Facebook, and some of the comments were, well, they can't stop us from gathering together. And so there are some that have still gathered and spending quality time together. And there's some that just chose to stay away from the gathering and be safe. And even in the comments, some of them are talking about still trying to gather at a different time in the year and do all of these things that, you know, they've just gotten used to over the years. I'm sure they've canceled festivals on this side of the border as well. You know what it's like when you can't do those. And then I got to thinking about all of the stuff coming up. You know, we have Thanksgiving coming up. How many of you have made your Thanksgiving plans already? You know, how many of you are just going to show up, wake up in the morning, and thank goodness it's Thanksgiving and make it happen? Okay. Christmas. Anyone got their Christmas plans? A couple of you. Good. Okay. So, I mean, we're in a world of COVID. Who knows at this point in time? I know there's several places in this area that have shut down, and so we're trying to be safe and trying to still maintain this gathering that we have together. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being part of the church, Central Park. Thank you for gathering together. And so as we look at Romans chapter 5, one of the things that I like to do after about 4 weeks is go back and review where we've been and where we're headed. And so we are sticking on this theme of gathering together and refocusing, you know, re-engaging with church, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with our communities. And so we're trying to navigate this territory. And if you remember, one of the very first things that we did in Romans chapter 1 is that we talked about the power of communication and the way that we need to communicate with God. That's prayer. We need to communicate with others, and that's out of respect. And we also need to communicate with teams, with people that we work with, and that's building up and encouraging one another. The second week, we talked about expectations. And the way that there are expectations placed on us, and we place those on others. Now, one of the struggles that we discovered in expectations is that basically three things. First of all, we are expected to refocus or believe in the gospel and then do something else. It's not just about that expectation of believing in the gospel of Christ or believing in Jesus Christ. It's about living accordingly to that belief. See, there's all kinds of people that come to church and they struggle with that belief. I had one gentleman tell me one time, he had been going to church for 35 years. And he was a kind of a pillar in the community, and he wanted to go to church all the time, but it wasn't because he believed. It's because he was an insurance salesman. You get that, right? He had tons of contacts in the church, and he would sell insurance to people in church. That just kind of made me so angry when I realized what he was doing when he talked to me about it. And you know, I'm like, it's great that you're here on Sunday, but what do you truly believe? What is it that you hold dear and live your life accordingly? What is it that affects us so much? And I think it's this. Jesus tells us that we must live, well, Paul writes it. He says that we're living according to his works. So here's what we're doing. We're talking patience. We're talking well-doing. We're talking seeking glory. We're talking seeking honor, seeking immortality, finding eternal life and living accordingly to that message. Secondly, I think that we are expected to refocus or to live in a faith community. That's why we're here. This is our faith community. I hope it's not all of your faith community. I hope you have others that you're talking to as part of that community. But it's part of who we are and how we live together. Third, I think that we are expected to refocus, to grow the faith of others in our community. So it's not just about us living out our gospel life. It's not just about being connected with others. It's about sharing our life and encouraging others to grow. So we also talked about in Romans chapter 2 and 3 those issues. And then in 4 we talked about building on the promise. And what that promise was that Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for us, for the sins of a world. He bore the sin and the shame of a world upon his shoulders. And so we must be regathering and rebuilding on that promise. Secondly, I think we need to build relationships of righteousness. So we're talking about relationships. We're talking about our faith journey. And then finally, I think we need to build relationships of faith. So one of the struggles that we have when we begin to re-engage our relationships is that sometimes we're not, well, let's put it this way. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. You ever feel that? We get in the way of ourselves way too often. And it's only when we begin to evaluate ourselves, when we look at our own actions and our own decisions, that we become a better friend. We become a better faith partner. So remembering the promise, building on the righteousness, and building a life of faith. So all of that leads up to today. So today, Paul makes this huge transition from this kind of out there idea and struggle that they're facing to the reality of what changes that for them, what heals them, what strengthens them, and what comforts them. So he very quickly dives right into it in chapter 5. Look at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 1, he's right out the gate saying, look, if you want to have faith, that's great. If you want to, you know, come to church and gather and be part of that, understandably, what he's saying is simple. You must be justified by faith. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, we have that peace with God. It is only through that connection with Jesus Christ do we ever find peace in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this. How many of you feel you're living a peaceful life today? Some of you? Yeah, a couple of you? How many of you think our world, think about what's happening in our world today. Is there peace? No. He's talking on the individual here, but I think it equates to so much more than just the individual level. He's challenging them as a body of believers. He's challenging them as individuals to no matter what's going on around them, no matter what they are facing, no matter the struggles of life around them, that if they hold on to that faith that they're justified through, they have peace with God and they can feel that. They can enjoy that. I think he's building on the promise, building on the righteousness, and building on the faith that comes only through knowing who Jesus Christ is. So today, as we refocus, I want to ask you this question. What matters most in your life? What is it that matters the most in your life? Is it a person? A thing? I talk to so many people in any given week, and you can tell right out the gate of what they hold as the most important thing in their life. For our world, we're quickly going to this where people aren't important anymore. You know what's important? My opinion on Facebook. You know what's important? My beliefs, my stuff, my. How many times in a day do you say they or them or those instead of I, me, or my? See, there's a question that begs to be answered, and it's simple. What matters most to you today? I love how he puts this, therefore. He goes right back to the reality of it. He says, look, you must be convinced by now that God has promised you all of these things and that God can do those things. And if you follow it, faith, look back in verse 21. What does he say? 22. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. It says, therefore, because of that promise, because of the life, because we've surrendered all of that sin and all of that anger and all of that frustration and all of those issues in our life, he says, you've laid them down at the foot of the cross and you're convinced that God is able to do what he said he's going to do. You've accepted that promise and now you have this righteousness. Because of that, you are now justified by faith. The second part of that is amazing. He says, we have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we all have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I don't know if you're a highlighter, underliner, or post-it note kind of person, But there are so many things that I would underline or highlight in there. Justified by faith. Circle peace. You have access by faith. Grace. And this phrase, in which we stand. That's an amazingly powerful phrase that Paul uses to highlight the struggle that was happening in their church, in their world. Between people who didn't believe exactly the same thing, but they're claiming the same God. Here's the reality. How many of you in this room believe the exact same thing? Yeah. See, that's the point. We all have differences of opinion. We all have different ideas about what should happen and what should be going on. But the reality is, the one thing that matters the most, I hope and pray we have a faith in Jesus Christ. A belief that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of our lives. A belief that Jesus comes first before anything else. What matters most? Well, like I said, Paul highlights some things. He highlights peace first and foremost. Joy. Suffering to endurance, which leads to character, and character, which leads to hope. And we're going to look at that here now. Go to verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, the trials, the suffering. How many of you consider suffering a joy or a blessing? We don't look at it from that lens anymore. But knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Man, if our world needs to know anything, it's that right there. Our world needs to see peace, joy, endurance, character. We've got the suffering part down. We need to see the character that leads to hope. I don't know about you, but I see a change in our culture and the way that we are living in today's age compared to how we lived in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And what we're doing is we're throwing out all of these other things in recognition for the one thing. What matters most to me. Instead of, simply put, what matters most. The very first thing you need to see in verse 2 is that we have access to God. We have this free access to God. You know, they say the average person prays less than 30 seconds a day. The average person. So what kind of access are we taking advantage of when it comes to seeing and believing and being part of that faith journey? We have access to God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have access by faith into this grace. Into this grace in which we stand. Are we standing firm in the grace and the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us and how He provides that access to God the Father? That through Him, we have life everlasting. Are we standing? I mean, remember that song, Standing on the Promises. Yeah. See, are we standing in this and rejoicing in the hope and the glory of God? Or are we doing the opposite? Think about what the opposite is. See, here's what I think we do most times. I can't tell you how many times I hear complaints. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. We're not doing this. Man, this is horrible. You know what? When's the last time you said something positive about 2020? Yeah, maybe the fact that God gave us another day in 2020 is pretty positive to me. When you are only focused on the negative, you lose sight of the grace in which we stand and your ability to rejoice in the hope and the glory of God Almighty. When you are only focused on the negative aspects of life, you are missing out on so much access to God the Father. We need to change our hearts. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the only way to do that is through accepting that grace and the knowledge and faith and standing firm with God. I know it's a difficult time, but Paul goes on and he says in 3 and 4, we have this promise from God that if we just persevere, that if we walk through this suffering together, that if we maintain and build that endurance, as one version of the Bible puts it, it doesn't use the word perseverance, it uses endurance. If we have the endurance that leads to character and character to hope, then we have that access with God. And we're following in that promise that is given for us. I think also that in verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's amazing. We have this gift of the Holy Spirit that should be guiding us and leading us through this journey together and allowing us to draw close together to one another in spirit. And yet what we're doing is we're fighting against it. We're kicking against it way too often. And I like verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, Paul is drawing this line in the sand that simply says, no more of this being justified by works. It's not about how many things you follow or how many things you do or how many things you get right. Paul transitions this from the lawless deeds and all of those things that took place to this promise that is realized only through living a life of faith. And then he changes it again and he adds to it and he says, you want this life of faith? Then you need to find that peace with God through that faith. Here's the reality. 6 is not on your screen. I want you to read that over and over and over again. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We have this blessing of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. He has blessed us beyond measure. And so look at what he has done for us. Paul quickly changes his theme here and he begins to highlight those things that Christ has done for us. He says he died for us. He was the only righteous person. He was a good person who would die for those he loved. In verse 8, go on to that. But God demonstrates his own love towards us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then. He's saying, because of that fact, you have all the more reason. You have more reason now than you ever had before to be justified by his blood and be saved from the wrath through him. That's a powerful statement. Because Paul, he says in this version, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he's acknowledging that at one point in our life, we didn't live it quite right. Maybe you've experienced that in your own personal life. Maybe you're struggling with that. Continues. But he challenges us and he says, you were once sinners. Even before you knew Jesus Christ, he died for you. He gave his life that you could live. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So then Paul even makes another transition. So now he's going away from this justified by faith, and that Abraham was justified by faith, and this transition that takes place from following all the laws and the rituals into this, hey, you know what? We are saved not by all of those things, but we are saved by our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. He says, now you can have this peace that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ and developing that faith. And then he says, there's a line and something that you must choose, whether you accept or deny. He uses this phrase, death in Adam, life in Christ. Death in Adam, life in Christ. Why would he phrase it that way? Why would he phrase death in Adam and life in Christ? Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, in verse 12, death through sin, and so death spread to all men. He's drawing that line that comes from being human, from Adam's humanness, and the way that Adam created that sin, and it just spread throughout the rest of existence. And he's drawing that line, and he's saying, you have to choose today which side that you want to be on. Reality is, we have a choice. Here in just a few moments, you're going to have an opportunity to make that choice. You are going to have an opportunity to reach out and accept the very love of Christ. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to give your life to Christ for the very first time. Maybe it's for you to rededicate and say, you know what, God, I have been living by the law of life in this world. I have failed to follow through with grace and faith. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to do something different and say, you know what, God, it's time for me to join a body of believers that believe the same way I do, that it is all about Jesus Christ and his love for us. That it's his love that has been poured into our hearts and we have this gift of the Holy Spirit that changes us. So as the worship team comes back up, they're gonna get ready to lead us in a song at the end of this. But one of the things that you need to do is that you must choose today which side you stand on. It's like looking at a fence. I remember this picture of a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. You ever seen that? It's just a turtle. It's just out in the wilderness, and there's this fence that runs through, and just one turtle sitting on top of the fence post. How'd he get there? You ever wonder that? I've always looked at that painting and tried to figure out how in the world that turtle got there. I still don't know to this day. It's one of the questions I'm going to ask. And the reality is, he's sitting on that fence, and as you look at it, there's two sides to it. And I think Christians in our world today like to sit on that fence like the turtle, with one foot on one side and one foot on the other side. But at some point in life, you have to realize you can no longer sit on the fence. You have to choose a side. You have to choose which way you're going. Because you know what? In the world of Christianity, guess who owns the fence? See, Jesus Christ came, he lived a sinless life that we might have life everlasting. He died for us. And all that we have to do is reach out and simply say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to live life differently. So today, the choice, as we're preparing to sing, I want you to think of it in these terms: death in Adam or life in Christ. Death in this world or life with Christ. Death in faith or life in Christ. You choose. All I ask you to do today is choose well and choose wisely. Father God, we thank you for this day that we can regather together and rejoice with one another, that we can have life everlasting, that through you and you alone, Father, we have faith and belief, and together with the Holy Spirit, we can stand and be victorious in this life. Father, we know this is a tough journey, and we're asking all kinds of requests and prayers, and you know the struggles that this world is facing. The reality is, you also know the outcome, Father. You know the end of the story. And we choose today to live eternally with you. We choose today to let go of all the negative, all the negativity, and be positive about our faith, about our love for Christ, about the way that Jesus loves us and brings us into the presence of God Almighty. Father God, today we choose a different path. We choose to let go of all of the works and all of the stuff, and we choose to build a life of faith with like-minded believers. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If you have a decision to make, won't you come?